Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, so we had no real games this past weekend, no real football. Yeah, we did have the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I watched maybe about a few minutes of it. Caught the rest of the highlights on YouTube, watched some of that. We'll be talking about the Pro Bowl a little bit in the fourth segment. Nothing like too analytical or anything like that. I'm just going to give thoughts. I don't know. All right, so we'll be doing that. First segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Patriots and Eagles some more. Last Friday, we talked about, We talked about a couple of matchups. We'll go over a couple of more and just pretty much talk about now. It's just Super Bowl week, so we'll talk about a little bit of the game going forward and some other things as far as the Patriots and Eagles. Maybe talk individually about both teams. We'll also talk a little bit about the Colts and Josh McDaniels. It's looking like Josh McDaniels is going to become the head coach of the Colts once the Super Bowl is over. So I got some thoughts on that. We'll be talking about the Broncos possibly trading Aqib Talib. John Gruden going to be meeting with Marshawn Lynch. A few words about Matthew Stafford that I want to talk about too. That to say also. All right, I got some thoughts about him. He might end up turning into like a Phillip Rivers type of quarterback, and that's not necessarily like a good thing. Yeah, so we'll be doing that. And then I don't think I talked much about, I don't even think at all I talked about the XFL last week. So fourth segment, as you guys know, that's pretty much like the say whatever comes to mind segment. So we'll be talking about the XFL then. And then I think, oh yeah, talk a little bit more about UCF. They're really taking this whole national championship or national champions thing a little far. I mean, I really don't, I understand why they're doing this, I guess, but I think it's a bit much now. So we'll be talking about that and pretty much anything else going on in the world of football. So let's get into it now. Let's talk Eagles and Patriots a bit. All right, so Rob Gronkowski back at practice, not fully participating. I don't think he's cleared yet to be playing in a game, but nonetheless, he's back. He's limited right now. And obviously, no one should be shocked. I think we all knew that this was like, I think we all know that Gronk's going to be playing on Sunday, right? I mean, he's not going to be at the Super Bowl Media Day, I don't think. And I mean, that's kind of sad because, I mean, Super Bowl Media Day is probably the second best thing about the Super Bowl besides the game itself. Yeah, I'd have to go with that because like, it's pretty much like Super Bowl Media Day and Gronk is pretty much like a match made in heaven right there. I mean, the dude's always good for a couple of quotes. But yeah, but nonetheless, he's back at practice. I don't think he's like completely cleared yet, like I said. But he'll be playing in the Super Bowl. So what does that mean for the Eagles? That means that their linebackers and safeties are going to have to obviously watch out for Gronk. Obviously, all right? So as far as like, I'm not sure how, like, I know Gronk, he makes a difference in this game. And I was talking about a little bit last Friday. Like, I know he makes a difference, but I don't think he's much of a win-loss type of factor for the Patriots if he's playing or not playing, you know? I hope you guys get what I'm saying right here. Like, obviously, Gronk is the best tight end in the league. And obviously, if he weren't to play, that'd make things a little bit easier on the Eagles. But I just don't think that, like, that would affect the Patriots as far as winning and losing. I mean, you still got Tom Brady. You still got Brandon Cooks. Deion Lewis has played well. James White's a little bit of a playmaker out the backfield. You got Danny Amendola, who plays well when Gronk's not in. And then Chris Hogan, I mean, Chris Hogan is like the, he's like the James White. James White, as far as running backs go on that team, I mean, you're never sure when James White is going to break out and have a good game, but nonetheless, he can if Bill Belichick game plans it for him. That's how Chris Hogan is. I mean, Chris Hogan's out there. I think he starts on the outside. He's out there week in and week out, but I mean, you're not really sure what he's going to do that week unless Bill Belichick has something special for him. So as far as it all goes, like I said, I mean, I just really, like, Gronk is not really, I got to be careful when I'm saying this, like, Gronk just doesn't affect the wins or losses of this game, all right? But nonetheless, he's going to be playing. It's going to be big for him because obviously it's going to be tough for these linebackers and safeties to match up with the guy. Obviously, like I said, he's one of the best tight ends in the league, so we're going to have to wait and like pretty much wait and see, obviously, how he goes through practice. And I know I said that he's
like he's most likely going to be playing on Sunday. Like, I have no doubt about it. But I mean, you never know what happens. All right. So yeah, now Eagles got to worry about Gronk a bit. And I'm sure they've already gone through meetings and all that, talking about, you know what, like, we're just pretty much preparing as if he's going to be in there. All right. So I mean, now the Eagles got to worry about that. I mean, it's no surprise though. Now you got to worry. You still got to worry about Tom Brady. All right. And Deion Lewis. I'm kind of curious as to see how he's going to play in the Super Bowl game. Eagles have one of the best defensive lines in the league, probably the best defensive line in the league, unless you think Jacksonville's is better, which I think I do. But nonetheless, I mean, Deion Lewis versus the defensive line, it's going to come down like last Friday. I was talking about Tom Brady versus this Eagles defensive line. Obviously, the Patriots, they do have a decent offensive line, but it's not the greatest. So I'm pretty curious to see if they're going to be able to open up enough holes for Deion Lewis to get going. Deion Lewis in playoffs so far, like, he really hasn't done much on the ground, but he's been a big help as far as catching the ball at the backfield. And I think he's going to have to do some more of that on Sunday, obviously, because I don't think that this Eagles defense is really going to give up too many rushing yards to this to these running backs, especially James White. So obviously, Deion Lewis, he's going to have to watch out and pretty much be a factor, like an Alvin Kamara type back. I know Alvin Kamara, like, I'm not just saying Alvin Kamara is just a receiving back or anything like that, but he's dangerous as far as catching the ball at the backfield, probably more than he is running the ball. I think he did lead rookies, all rookies with in catches this season with like 88 around there, I think it was. So Deion Lewis is gonna have to have that type of game on Sunday. All right, but now let's talk about teams a little bit individually. Pretty much their season so far and what it took for them to get here. And pretty much, yeah, we're just going to talk about each team. All right, so let's start off with the Patriots. So like I said, I was just talking about Deion Lewis, and this season for the Patriots was a bit weird as far as it's like almost they were changing it up a bit, all right? Usually last, what, how long has Tom Brady been in the league? About 17, 18 years, usually. Yeah, last 18 years or so, the Patriots offense has gone through Tom Brady, all right? And this year it has too, but not as much as we've all come to know and love, or hate, depending on how you feel about Tom Brady. All right, so this year you saw more of, it was the first three games. You had a guy like Mike Gillisley scoring touchdowns near the goal line. Looked like he was going to be the lead guy for the season. Obviously, Bill Belichick, knowing what he knows, says, no, he's going to be our guy for about four games. Then Deion Lewis comes in. All right, Deion Lewis comes in, plays well, rushes for around 70 yards, I think it was, in his first real start. Got around 15 carries and pretty much ran away with that starting running back position. All right, like I said, usually you'll see Bill Belichick switch around from about anywhere from two to three running backs a season, just so that way I feel that they don't get burnt out too much. And I get that. Obviously, it's worked for him. All right, but this season so far, like I said, I mean, it really hasn't been one where Tom Brady's had to put the offense on his back. I mean, you look at Brandon Cooks. I mean, the guy really hasn't played well at all this season. Played pretty well so far in the playoffs. I think he had, what, six catches for 100 yards against the Jags in the AFC Championship game. So he started to come alive a bit. Obviously, you know Gronk is going to be doing his thing year in and year out because he's the best tight end in the league. Probably the best tight end of all time. Sorry, Tony Gonzalez, but I mean, there's no one like Gronk, all right? Then you got guys like Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola. Not all-time talents or anything like that. Not even probably top 15 players at their position, if we're being real. Probably not even top 20 players at their position. All right, so obviously Tom Brady, no one's really noticed, but like, I know his passing yards have been up, but his touchdown numbers, I think, have been kind of low. But he's kept his interceptions down, too. So, like, Tom Brady, he hasn't been lining it up or anything like that. But he's been pretty much, he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So, he's been doing enough. But getting back to this whole Deion Lewis thing, I think that's been a big help to Tom Brady. Because, obviously, as you get older, I mean, no matter what, I mean, it looks like Tom Brady's gotten better. But you're going to need a little more help going forward. That's what Deion Lewis has given him. All right. Now, you can give the ball to Deion Lewis around 15 to 20 times. And that's not going to affect your offense in any way. If anything, it's going to make it better. So, now they're more of a two-dimensional type offense, finally. All right, and they're off. Like I said, their offensive line has been playing well. As far as the defense, I mean, the defense has given up, I think, probably the 30 most yards this season on average on defense, but they don't give up too many points. I'm not sure. I haven't really liked that formula for that defense as far as just pretty much giving up a bunch of yards but keeping them out the end zone, because like I said, I mean, now it doesn't matter, but like you face up with like a team with a good offense, like could have been Pittsburgh, but obviously they got knocked out, and it's not going to work too well against this Philly offense. I mean, two weeks ago, they faced off with the Vikings, scored 38 points on that defense. I'm not sure that New England's going to be able to pretty much play with that formula as far as giving up a bunch of yards and trying to keep them out the end zone, because this Philly offense, like I said, has been playing well, especially with Nick Foles at quarterback. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, the Patriots so far this season, well, pretty much for the entire season, their go-to has been give the ball to Deion Lewis around 15, 20 times and let Tom do what Tom does. All right, it's worked out. This is why there's a Super Bowl again. All right, and as far as the Eagles go, I mean, we all saw it. Nick Carson Wentz was looking like an MVP candidate, probably was going to win the MVP. Then tore his ACL, sadly, against the Rams. And it just, like I've said before, and I'll say it now, I thought the Eagles were done. I think the podcast, on podcast Monday after Wentz tore his ACL, I said the Eagles are done. They're going to lose in the divisional round. That's it. Sure enough, here they are in the Super Bowl. Why are they in the Super Bowl? They're in the Super Bowl, I think, because they have one of the best defenses in the league. And they're extremely well coached. All right. As far as the Patriots go, yeah, we know they're well coached. Yeah, we know they have the best coach of all time. We don't really have to talk too much about Bill Belichick because we know what he brings to the table, and we know that he's going to have this Patriots team as probably the best coached team in all the league. But nonetheless, I mean, Carson Wentz tears his ACL. Boom. Well, for most teams, that's it. Your leader goes down. Your best player goes down. You're shook. It's over. You really don't think you have any chance. You're pretty much just done for the rest of the season. All right. Doug Peterson has done well to keep this team on track and done well to pretty much shift and adjust this offense to where Nick Foles can be successful. Okay, because Nick Foles, other than that year we threw, what was it, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, just really hasn't been that great. Okay, he went to the Rams, didn't really do much there. And I can't remember if he, after the Rams, if he ended up with another team after that. I think he might have been like the Chiefs or someone. I can't remember exactly. Or if he just came back right back to the Eagles. But nonetheless, ends up back in Philly as the backup quarterback. And here he is with one game left and the possibility of winning a Super Bowl. Like, imagine it. Like, just think about it, okay? Nick Foles, a quarterback, as the quarterback, winning the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. All right? I've said it before. I'll say it again. This NFL, the NFL is shifting to a new age to where, you know what? You're not going to need the best quarterback in the league in order to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. If Nick Foles wins this game, or the Eagles win this game, I should say, then that's going to pretty much push my theory the right way even more. All right, but like I said, I mean, so far this season, I mean, they traded for J.J. midseason right before the deadline. And, I mean, now, I guess the playoffs got here, I think the biggest thing for J.J. was that bye week for wild card weekend, all right? That little extra week that that the Eagles got was huge for them. You get J.J. to get acclimated more with the offense, and pretty much he learns the playbook more, learns the schemes more, and boom, he's been playing well. Probably one of the bigger parts of the Eagles' offense so far in the playoffs. Really taking a lot off of Nick Foles' shoulders. Nick Foles is able to give him the ball around 15 to 20 times a game, and you could always look for him out the backfield because he's in that shifty little running back. Then you got Alshon Jeffrey, who most number one receivers, you'll see if the top quarterback goes down, then you'll see their numbers dip. Like Antonio Brown, like last year I think it was when Ben Roethlisberger went down for a few games and Landry Jones came in. Obviously, you saw Antonio Brown's numbers go down, and Nick Foles is better than Landry Jones by far, but nonetheless, I mean, when you're going from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles, there's obviously going to be a big drop-off between the two quarterbacks. But Alshon Jeffrey's done well to adjust and make sure that he's helping out Foles a bit and make sure that he's still the number one receiver on that team as far as putting up stats. Same with Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz has thrived so far under Foles, and this team has really played well on offense. And like I said, it just goes back to the coaching as far as Doug Peterson. Last year, I remember some fans saying that Doug Peterson, they didn't really like him because of the way he called plays and the way he just his coaching style. But here he is in the Super Bowl. And this would really be big for the Eagles right here. I think, besides the Patriots, obviously, like the Patriots coaching staff right now, right here is like just pretty much tier one, and then there's a drop off. Right after them is the Eagles coaching staff, and I think a Super Bowl win right here would pretty much put them on level with the Patriots. Obviously, they wouldn't be better than the Patriots. You'll never be better than Bill Belichick as far as coaching goes, but you could be pretty much on that same level as him, like a close second right there. All right, because this Eagles team, like I said, they've done well to adjust, and they don't have like any big name talents on defense either. All right, I mean, obviously they have talent and they have solid players, but no one's like pretty much like that top player in the league. All right, like the Jags got Jalen Ramsey, the Steelers Steelers, they don't really have anyone on defense too good. Like, pretty much what I'm saying is like the Eagles as a team just don't have that guy on that team where it's like, you know what, this guy's one of the best players in the league. They're pretty much solid pretty much all around, and that's one of their biggest things. You got players who don't need to be the top guy, and then you got players who are really smart and know how to do their job well and pretty much don't go above and beyond and trying to become the hero like other players do. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the Eagles are in the Super Bowl right now. It's going to be interesting to see how it all ends up. I mean, this game, as far as picking it, I'm not sure who I'm going with yet. Like I said, the Eagles right now, if they compare the Eagles and the Patriots, the Eagles do have the best all-around team, but since the Patriots have that guy named Tom Brady, I mean, you pretty much can't go with the best team in this game. You still have to think about the Tom Brady factor. I mean, he makes other players around him better. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all ends up. Again, I'm not making a pick till Friday. But, I mean, if right now, if I had to lean towards somewhere, I'm not even sure yet. It might have to be with the Patriots just because of that Tom Brady guy. But we're going to have to wait and see. It's going to be something new for the Eagles as far as media days and all that goes. I mean, the Patriots are here pretty much year after year, it feels like. So, I mean, they're used to this. It's just another week of football for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles deal with this. And it's going to be interesting to see how Gronk progresses as far as his concussion protocol goes. So that's all I got to say about that right now. I just wanted to say a few things about the Eagles and Patriots. Again, I mean, Gronk playing on Sunday, really no doubts about that. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all ends up. But we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, say a few more new things. But other than that, that's going to be it for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about Josh McDaniels and the Colts, see how that's going to end up working, or at least what I think of it. And we'll see if we can fit in maybe John Gruden meeting with Marshawn Lynch in the future, or Aqib Talib and Denver and the Broncos trying to trade him. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Podcast. In that last segment, pretty much spent the entire segment talking about the Patriots and Eagles, talked about Gronk being back at practice, and talked about pretty much each team, what's been going good for them as far as leading up to this point. Yes, we said a few things about them. Again, as the week goes on, and then we have podcasts tomorrow for here, and then we have one on Friday. Friday's usually when we make our picks. We'll talk more about the game, but we'll pretty much be talking about the Eagles and Patriots pretty much in these next two podcasts as far as the week goes on. I mean, Super Bowl week, got to give them most of the love. So, yeah, we talked about them in the last segment. But for this segment, we're going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk about them intending to bring in Josh McDaniels after the Super Bowl as their head coach. What do I think of this move? I think that this move, I don't know, I'm kind of scared of Josh McDaniels right now. All right, his little stint in Denver, the time he spent there, kind of gave me cold feet on Josh McDaniels. I'm not sure what I really think of the guy right now. Okay, remember he traded Jay Cutler so he could draft Tim Tebow and make him the starting quarterback. Obviously, that worked out for a season, I guess, if you were okay with making the playoffs with Tim Tebow. I mean, let's just think back to that whole season right there. All right, Tim Tebow was their quarterback. And Tim Tebow, like, I remember, like, the guy, like, sometimes wouldn't even throw for more than 100 yards, but somehow he managed to pull out a win. It was just ridiculous how he did that. I mean, I remember there was a game against Miami where Miami was up 15-0, I think, in the fourth quarter. And somehow Tebow led them back. They scored twice. And then they went in overtime. I mean, that was one of the biggest things with Tim Tebow, was that his teams would be down. Like, those Broncos teams would be down in that first season. And it didn't matter whether it was, like, the end, like, 5 minutes left in the fourth, or just the whole fourth quarter to get it back. I mean, Tim Tebow, like, somehow they always came back week after week. It was just ridiculous to see. And then just the cherry on top of that season was that wild card game against the Steelers, where, was it the wild card? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the wild card game, because then they get blown out by the Patriots the week after in the divisional round. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I think it was that way. So wild card round, you got Demaryius Thomas running a post route, I think it was. Tebow hits him, and then Demaryius Thomas takes it all the way for a touchdown, and the Broncos do the unthinkable with Tim Tebow. They win a playoff game. It was all fun and games. Then after that, it pretty much blew up. Tim Tebow came a distraction, and I think Tim Tebow coming a distraction was ESPN's fault. I kind of blame ESPN for Tim Tebow not being in the league anymore. ESPN loves to pretty much ESPN is the reason why there's a lot of distractions in football. They overcover things way too much. I mean, Tim Tebow really didn't need to cover him too much. I mean, remember they would cover him praying on the sidelines, and they made a big deal out of that. I mean, ESPN is pretty much just the drama news network right now. But nonetheless, I mean, like I said, that whole little stint that Josh McDaniels had with the Broncos kind of makes me kind of about him. I'm not sure what I think about him. All right, yeah, obviously he's done well under Bill Belichick. He's constantly had the Patriots in the top 10 as far as best offenses go. But, I mean, what has he been so far without Tom Brady? Yeah, he did get Tim Tebow to the playoffs, but after that he really didn't do much at all. All right, so it really didn't work out there. Then he comes back to New England, and like I said, constantly has his team back in the top 10. So now we can talk present. What's going to happen as far as him and the Colts? I'm not sure. Like, all right, so look at it this way. Okay, the Colts finished third in the AFC South, tied with the Texans, I believe, for the worst division in the, or worst record in the division. I think they both finished 4-12. And pretty much this whole season pretty much rides on Andrew Luck being healthy. And I was reading an ESPN article saying that the Colts planned on introducing him as the coach, or intended on hiring him as the coach after the Super Bowl. And they expected Andrew Luck to be healthy for the 2018 season. I'm not sure how much they believe that. How much they believe that Andrew Luck is going to be healthy, okay? Because if you remember this season, spent most of it on IR. He comes back to practice. He wasn't practicing fully or anything like that, but nonetheless, he comes back. He's throwing the ball around, and then he says that he's feeling more discomfort in his shoulder. Put him back on IR, and next thing you know, he's going to be in Germany, pretty much getting the Kobe Bryant treatment, I think it is. And the Kobe Bryant treatment, I talk about that because Kobe Bryant, when he tore his Achilles, went to Germany and got something, whatever he did over there, fixed it. So that's pretty much what Andrew Luck is doing. So as far as Josh McDaniels succeeding in his first season with the Colts, I mean, it all rides on Andrew Luck being healthy. But like, not only that, they do have a bunch of other holes that they got to fix, right? They have a defense that they pretty much haven't addressed since, when did Peyton Manning get drafted? 1999, 1998? Yeah, so since then. I think you need a running back. I'm not sure if running back is like the top need. It's a top two need, but I'm not sure if it's the top need on that team, all right? Because Frank Gore, yeah, he's getting older, but he did finish the season with a little less than 1,000 yards. 961 yards, had 261 carries. Let me do some quick math, see if I can do the average. It's about 3.6 yards per carry. If you want to round up, about 3.7, I guess, whatever. I'm just reading it off my calculator right here. So Frank Gore obviously can do the job still. All right, if you got Andrew Luck out there, you don't really need your running back to do too much. So I think one of the biggest questions right now as far as the Colts in the draft goes, are they taking Bradley Chubb, the defensive end, or are they taking Saquon Barkley? If Andrew Luck is healthy, like if I'm the Colts, I think it's time, like I said, I said all that stuff about Frank Gore right now, said that even with Andrew Luck out there, you don't really need your running back to do too much. But now that I think about it, the guy's coming off of major shoulder injury. You don't really want him, like you don't want to put it all on him, like the offense all on Andrew Luck, and tell him, go out and do what you've done before for us. All right, because if you remember when Andrew Luck took that Colts team to the AFC Championship, only for them to get blown out by the Patriots, and that was actually the beginning of the Deflategate. Man, what a waste of time that was. But nonetheless, like I said, that year, Andrew Luck pretty much did everything for that offense. And like I said, like I've said before, I mean, the Colts have really never built a team out around him or Manning so far in their careers. Well, I mean, Manning's career is over, so far in Andrew Luck's career. All right, but you know what? If I'm the Colts, I'm going to take Barkley at number two. Or no, yeah, they're actually number three. So I'm going to take Barkley at number three. And if I take Saquon Barkley at number three and he's my running back on the Colts, Andrew Luck doesn't need to go out and throw the ball 50 times a game. All right, Andrew Luck can be a normal quarterback finally. Andrew Luck, when he's healthy, obviously is probably a top five. No, not probably. He is a top five quarterback when he's healthy and out there. All right, so as far as the Colts pick, I understand that you do need help on the defense, but Andrew Luck does help mask a lot of those problems. And if you had a guy like Saquon Barkley back there, let's say you're going to help even more as far as masking those problems on the defense when you're putting up at least like 30 points a game. All right. You still got Malik Hooker. Yeah, did have a season-ending injury. I think it was week one or early on in the season. He's going to be coming back next season, hopefully healthy. All right, that's one spot. If he comes back healthy and plays well, you don't have to worry about. And you could spend the rest of the draft on that defense. But I think with the Colts drafting at number three, you got to go best player available, and that is Barkley, and that is going to help that offense greatly right there. All right, so like I said, as far as like Josh McDaniels becoming the Colts head coach, just like if Andrew Luck, let's say Andrew Luck doesn't come back like healthy, completely healthy, and he struggles with his shoulder for the near future, then Josh McDaniels is going to be in big trouble as far as keeping his job with the Colts for more than 2-3 years, all right? Because believe it or not, that AFC South division has, like, it has been the laughingstock of the NFL the last few years, but now you got Deshaun Watson, who did tear his ACL this season, coming back next year. If he gets all healed up, I mean, I'm sure he could still be the quarterback he was this season, so you got to worry about the Texans. Now, the Texans with a healthy Deshaun Watson are a playoff team, all right? Deshaun Watson was playing like a top five quarterback when he was out there, even looking like one of the best quarterbacks out there. Was going to be a shoo-in for the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, but like I said, he tore his ACL, so I mean, really couldn't do much there. So now you got to worry about a Houston Texans team with J.J. Watt coming back. Also, they lost Whitney Merciless. No one really remembers that. And like I said, you got Deshaun Watson coming back. It's going to be a top team in the division right there. Then, oh yeah, the team that just played in the AFC Championship, the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, got the best defense in the league, arguably. You can also, like I said, arguably, because you know what? You might be able to put Philly as the number one defense in the league. But nonetheless, you got them, all right? And then you got to worry about Leonard Fournette on that team. You got to worry about Dede Westbrook, Keenan Cole, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns all getting better in another year. Then you got to worry about Allen Robinson coming back, who missed this season. You know what? The Jags might even end up picking up a guy like Kirk Cousins or possibly trading for a guy like Alex Smith unless he gets cut by the Chiefs. I mean, the Jags with Alex Smith, that's a Super Bowl contending team right there. I know people don't really like Alex Smith too much, but I mean, you just need someone to be better than Blake Bortles. You got to worry about them. And then you got a Titans team who just fired Mike Mularkey but brought in Mike Vrabel. All right. I remember Mike Vrabel playing with the Patriots linebacker. Couldn't stand him, but he was good at his job, and it's looked like so far in his coaching career he's been doing well, obviously, if he's getting a head coaching job this early. So now you got to worry about the Texans, or the Titans, I mean. They still got to pick up an offensive coordinator, and you got to worry, you know, if they pick up a nice little offensive coordinator, someone who's going to help Marcus Mariota this season, now you got to worry about him too. Marcus Mariota had a down year, but, I mean, we've all seen what kind of quarterback he can be. So now, like I said, if the Colts don't get Andrew Luck 100% healthy, then they're probably, like, the Colts, even with Andrew Luck, might finish third in this division. All right? If I had to put, let's say, like, a healthy 100% Andrew Luck comes back and he's ready week one. Are we sure that we want to put this Colts team all around above Houston or Jacksonville? I don't think so. I think Jacksonville is going to be the team to beat in that division next year. I think Houston is going to be better than them. And you're pretty much relying, like I said, you still have to draft Saquon Barkley, but he's going to be a rookie, so you're pretty much relying on Andrew Luck to pretty much be the guy that he used to be and make everyone around him better. I think that if he does come back healthy, then Tennessee will finish fourth in that division. But nonetheless, I mean, it's going to be a difficult job for Josh McDaniels to do, especially with this division being so good and young going forward. All right, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to handle it. Like I said, like, it's going to be difficult to see how it all ends up for him. But, I mean, right now, I mean, the Colts really have no other choice. There's no one better out there other than McDaniels for them. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, is going to be heading to Detroit. We'll mention him a little bit in the next segment. And, like I said, I mean, you got to see what Mike Vrabel does with Tennessee. So, it's going to be difficult for Josh McDaniels to do a good job here in this division. I mean, I know as a coach, listening to, interviews as far as what they have to say. They say, first thing you look at is the quarterback, and then who's in that division. Josh McDaniels looks at the quarterback. Yeah, you got Andrew Luck. Is he going to be healthy? We're not sure. And look at the division. Like I said, it might be one of the best in football next season. So we're going to have to wait and see how it all ends up. I think I'm going to go ahead and say that I do like the move, but that only depends on, like, that's only because I think Andrew Luck is going to be healthy once week one comes around. So we're going to have to wait and see how it all ends up. But nonetheless, that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking Matt Stafford. We're going to be talking Aqib Talib, and we might talk Marshawn Lynch a bit, or we might just throw him in with that fourth segment. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far on today's show, we've been talking about the Patriots and Eagles, talked about each team individually a little bit in the first segment. Second segment, we talked about the Colts and intending to hire Josh McDaniels. Got to be correct, because people will come at you if you're not. So yeah, they're intending to hire Josh McDaniels after the Super Bowl. That's where Adam Schefter reported. So we talked about that, talked about how even with Andrew Luck being 100%, once week one comes, they still might not even be the top two team in that division. You still got to worry about the Texans with Deshaun Watson. You still got to worry about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they'll be better than the Titans, but we got to see about them, who they bring in an offensive coordinator. But nonetheless, we talked about that. This segment, we're going to talk about the Broncos a bit, talk about them looking to trade Aqib Talib, talk about what they are with Kirk Cousins, because I think that's what this whole Aqib Talib trading rumors thing is about. I read on ESPN that they're trying to trade him because of financial reasons. And, I mean, if you're looking to sign Kirk Cousins, obviously you're going to have to give him a big money contract. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Matt Stafford a little bit. Talk about pretty much... We're just going to talk about Matt Stafford. That's it right there. I mean, the guy... He needs to make the playoffs or else he's going to have a... Like, his career is just going to be sad, I feel. So let's talk about the Broncos first, all right? So this season, finished last in the division, were the worst team in the division, probably by far. I mean, you had the Chargers and the Chiefs fighting for a playoff spot towards the end of the season. You had the Raiders who were in that little discussion for a couple of weeks. And like I said, Denver was just a bad team, okay? I think that Denver's biggest problem as far as them being a bad team was at quarterback. I mean, you have Demaryius Thomas, you had Emmanuel Sanders, CJ Anderson, Von Miller, guys like Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, I believe the other guy's name is Bradley Roby, Todd Davis playing linebacker, Sac State's finest right there, shout out to him. And then you had, like I said, I'm not sure if I mentioned Von Miller already, but you have him on the defensive line, and he's one of the best D linemen in the league. So, I mean, this wasn't a bad team all around. All right, this is pretty much like a sleeping giant type of team right here. The biggest problem with the Broncos was that, you know what, quarterbacks couldn't complete a pass to save their life. I saw Trevor Siemian play once, and it was brutal. I've seen Brock Osweiler play in his career. It's been brutal. Paxton Lynch, not brutal, but it hasn't been good. It's been pretty bad, but brutal is a little stretch. All right, so this team's biggest problem was the fact that, you know what, they had no quarterback. All right, when you're constantly, like, if we remember the defense playing that year that they played Carolina in the Super Bowl, everyone was talking about them as being one of the best defenses of all time, if not the best, all right? And it was looking like that. A couple years later, here they are, and people were talking about how the defense is old, they're getting worse, they're not that good anymore. I don't really think that's the case. I think there's more context to it than the defense just getting old and not being good anymore, all right? When your quarterbacks are out there and you're going 3 and out the entire game, not doing anything, your defense is on the field anywhere from 20 to 25 minutes a game. That is not a recipe for success right there, all right? When your defense gives up a touchdown and you pretty much know, oh, yeah, that's the game right there. Denver's not going to be able to outscore the other team. I mean, there's nothing really to play for, all right? This defense had pretty much no reason to go out there and try and shut down the opposing team's offense week in and week out, because like I said, I mean, you give up a few points and your game's already over because you have Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, and Paxton Lynch playing quarterback. All right, so I mean, I think that was the biggest downfall of the Broncos this season. It wasn't that they were a bad team all around, it was that they had no quarterback. All right, so now they're trying to trade Aqib Talib, and Talib for Denver. I think, yeah, Talib for Denver so far since he's been with them has been a solid little match, all right? Aqib Talib has been one of the better corners in the league. Obviously, last year probably wasn't the best or anything like that, but, I mean, before that, he was playing well, shutting down the opposing receivers. This year, I think he's set to make around $11.5 million, and now the Broncos are looking to trade him for, quote, financial reasons, unquote. All right, so I wonder why they're trying to shed that money, trying to shed that $11 million. I think it's to sign good old Captain Kirk Cousins. All right, I think you bring in, like, let's say they bring in Kirk Cousins. This is a team that could compete for the AFC West. All right, I said that a little bit slowly because I was thinking, do you really want to say that, Jesse? Do you really want to say that the Broncos could compete for the AFC West division next year? And you know what? Yeah, if they bring in Kirk Cousins, sign him. All right, you got Demaryius Thomas, who I think had nearly 900 yards, around 8 touchdowns, I believe, and that was with 3 different guys throwing him the ball. All right. Demaryius Thomas, when he's got a solid quarterback around, is a top 10 receiver. Let's not forget, all right? I know it's been a couple of years since Peyton Manning retired, but when the guy's got a solid quarterback, he's a great receiver. All right. Manuel Sanders is a free agent. I'm not sure if they're bringing him back. CJ Anderson, I think he'll be back next year if they bring in Kirk Cousins. And I know they got to work on that offensive line, but you bring Kirk Cousins, then this is a team who could make the playoffs. I think John Elway has the mentality of, you know what, this is our Super Bowl or bust years, and I get that, but I don't think bringing in Kirk Cousins is going to make you a Super Bowl team. I think it's going to make you a playoff team, and it's going to give you a couple of years to get better. Kirk Cousins can mask some of the problems that Denver has. You can address those in the draft as far as bringing in younger reinforcements on the defensive line. I think their secondary is still good. Like, this Denver team is a sleeping giant right here, all right? They're not a bad team. They're just a team who needs a quarterback. You're not going to ever get anywhere with Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, and Paxton Lynch as your quarterback. And these last couple of years have pretty much just been wasted years as far as their little Super Bowl window that they've had. And this team should have won a Super Bowl. I remember they ran it with Peyton Manning a couple years ago. But they should be a team that's been in the playoffs the last 2 years. And his last 2 years have been wasted. Now Demaryius Thomas is getting older. Von Miller is getting older. I mean, you still do have Chris Harris and Bradley Roby playing cornerback who are still solid young corners. Like I said, you got Todd Davis. So, I mean, as far as bringing in Kirk Cousins, I think Denver should do it. And now you pretty much got to figure out what's going on with that number five pick. All right. If I'm Denver, then I might be looking to possibly trade up, switch picks with the Colts. Colts currently got the number 3 pick. If the Colts are trying to take a guy like Bradley Roby instead of Saquon Barkley, I'm going to try and jump ahead of the Browns, and I'm going to draft Barkley if I'm the Broncos. You jump up, you draft Barkley, then you are set, okay, on offense. You got Demaryius Thomas, Kirk Cousins, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, I know I've been talking about him a lot in the last few podcasts. That's the answer to a lot of teams' offensive problems. You bring him in, and you're going to be set. So, I mean, I'm not really sure too much what else Denver needs as far as their team. You're going to need another receiver because I don't think they're bringing back Emmanuel Sanders, but you're not going to draft a receiver at the number 5 spot. None of these receivers in the draft are worthy of the top 10 pick unless you're the Bears who like desperately need one. All right. Defensive line, I still think that you can go ahead. Like, you'll be fine without picking one up in the first round. Linebackers, I think they're fine, and secondary is fine. All right, like I said, the biggest problem for them, if Denver signs Kirk Cousins, then they're a playoff team who's drafting with the 5th pick. All right, I'll say that much. And I mean that, and I believe that right there. Denver, like I said, Denver's a team that should have been in the playoffs the last couple of years, but have been held back by quarterback play. And you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, if I'm Denver, I'm going Kirk Cousins at 100%. I'm not going for one of these young quarterbacks in the draft. I'm not going for a Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. Or even Sam Darnold if he falls. All right, because you know what? You're not sure what you're getting with either of these guys. You're not sure how long it's going to take for them to develop and to become good quarterbacks. And like I said, you're not even sure if they're ever going to become a good quarterback. If I'm the Broncos, you got to go out and get Kirk Cousins. If not, then they're going to just keep wasting away these years. All right, this team should be in the playoffs year in and year out, but it's all going to depend on what they do at quarterback this offseason. I think they got to get Kirk Cousins, and I think that's why they're trying to trade Aqib Talib. All right, you trade Aqib Talib. Like I said, you still got Bradley Roby and Chris Harris as your starting cornerbacks. You're fine there. And like I said, this Denver team is just a sleeping giant who just needs their quarterback. They get their quarterback, then they're making playoffs, I feel. And as far as like that division goes, I mean, now you're saying they were a 4-12 team, though. Now they got a, like, you think a quarterback's going to fix it? What about the Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers? Let's look at the Chargers, all right? Say that the Broncos bring in Kirk Cousins. Yeah, we still got to wait and see how the defense reacts to having a quarterback who can be on the field for more than 2 minutes at a time. All right, so not like with the Broncos, it's more of like a wait and see type of thing to see if it'll work as far as just how the defense plays, like I said. But as far as the Chargers go, I think that as of right now, they are going to be the best team in the division next year. All right, you got a solid defense who played extremely well this season. You still got Phillip Rivers. You got Melvin Gordon, who's a top 10 running back. You can maybe argue that he's top 5, possibly. And then you got Keenan Allen, who stayed healthy this season, Tyrell Williams. And you got a top 10 tight end, Hunter Henry, who could very well become top 5 this next season if he develops into one. All right, so I think the Chargers, as of right now, are the best team in that division. Then you got the Chiefs. We're not sure what they're going to be doing at quarterback. Let's say they get rid of Alex Smith. What if Patrick Mahomes doesn't turn out to be a good quarterback? What if he's a guy who, you know, has the tools, but he needs a few years to develop? So that's going to hold back the Chiefs a bit. All right, yeah, you still got Kareem Hunt. You still got Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, which is going to help mask some of Patrick Mahomes' deficiencies as far as being a young quarterback. But you know what? On the other side of the ball, you got a very old off defensive line. You got a very old linebacking corps. All right? You still got to fix that up. They're, as far as defensive line and linebackers getting older, you know what that means? That means they're getting slower. So you have to worry about that. All right? This past season, the Chiefs secondary, yeah, they had Marcus Peters, who caused a lot of turnovers and was a good, nice little shutdown corner. Other than that, the secondary gave up a bunch of yards and a bunch of touchdowns, so you got to worry about that. Another year, the defense was bad this past year, and the defense is going to get a little bit worse. All right, so the Chiefs, I'm not sure what to think about them yet. And as far as the Raiders go, yeah, you brought in John Gruden. Yeah, you have Derek Carr, who played pretty poorly this season, but I'm going to keep saying that. I think that was contributed to the fact that he played with a fractured back for most of the season, all right? Because you fracture your back, come back after missing 1 week, that doesn't mean the back's all healed up. That just means you're trying to tough it out. Not sure what they're going to do with Marshawn Lynch. We're going to push talking about him to the next segment. All right, Amari Cooper, not sure if he's going to be able to figure out those ball-dropping problems, because it's a big mental thing right there. Michael Crabtree played well, but kind of tailed off towards the end of the season. Jared Cook really wasn't all that good of a tight end this season as far as receiving goes. And that defense, yeah, it's young, but, I mean, they showed absolutely no signs of development this past season. Just constantly getting burned and weren't doing a thing about it. All right, this defense was by far the worst in the league, and I'm not sure that it's just, oh, yeah, the defense is young, give them a few years. I think the defense is just young and bad, all right? Khalil Mack, obviously probably the best edge rusher in the league. But other than that, I mean, like I said, the defense is just young and bad. You got guys like Bruce Irvin, but they're just getting older. So, I mean, the Raiders got to worry about what they're doing on defense. So as far as Kirk Cousins goes, the Broncos bring him in. They're the second best team in the division, I think. But we're going to have to wait and see how it all ends up. So that's all I got to say about that. Now I want to talk about Matt Stafford for a bit, all right? Matt Stafford, to me, I'm going to go out and say it, is a top five quarterback, all right? Give me Tom Brady number one right now. Or actually, give me Brady number one, then Rodgers, then Big Ben at three. Great, now I got to go division by division, make sure I'm not missing any quarterbacks. All right, let's go NFC East. Carson Wentz, I'm not ready to put him in that top five range yet. He's going to jump in there next season, I think. Cowboys, no. Giants, no. Redskins, no. All right, already named Aaron Rodgers. I think Stafford's top five. Let's go Falcons, Matt Ryan. Stafford's better. Stafford's better than Newton. Breeze, I'll take Breeze or Stafford as of right now. I'll take Stafford. Then the West, you got Russell Wilson. I'll take Stafford over him. Jimmy G, you got to give him a couple more years before he's in that conversation. East, AFC East, already named Tom Brady. AFC North, Big Ben. Then no one in the AFC South yet. I mean, you can't consider Andrew Luck because he hasn't been healthy. So yeah, Stafford, without a doubt, is a top five quarterback in this league. What he's in danger of right now, though, is becoming a quarterback who had a really solid NFL career but won't make the Hall of Fame because he never made the playoffs or ever did anything in the playoffs. All right, Matt Patricia, I think he's going to become the head coach of the Detroit Lions. At least that's what it's looking like. Detroit's got to make the playoffs, and Matt Stafford's got to finally do something. All right, if you look at his stats, his first year, he did only throw for 13 touchdowns, 20 interceptions as a rookie. Second year, I believe he was hurt that year. 2011, guy throws for 41 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. 2012, 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Man, this guy throws a lot of picks. 2013, 29 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. 2014, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Then 2015, 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. 2016, 24 touchdowns, 10 picks. 2017, 29 touchdowns, 10 picks. And he's constantly, ever since after the 2010 year, has managed to stay in within the 4,000 yard range. And in 2011, the best year of his career, threw for over 5,000 yards and had 41 touchdowns, like I said. Matt Stafford has the stats of a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now he needs to put it together, and he needs to become he needs to get to the playoffs in order to become that Hall of Fame quarterback and solidify it. He needs to win a couple of playoff games to finish off his career. He's played, what was it, since 2009, about 9 years so far. So, I mean, he's still probably got about five more years at the most, 6 years, 7 years, if we're being generous. He's got plenty of time to make the playoffs, but he's got to do it eventually, and he's got to win some games and eventually do something. You can't just be a quarterback who barely misses out in the playoffs week year in and year out. He's got to do something, or else he's going to turn into Phillip Rivers. And you know what? Phillip Rivers, I think, might be a Hall of Famer, but you know what? That's not the right comparison. Let's call him, he might turn into Carson Palmer, quarterback who had all the talent in the world but just never really put it together in the playoffs. Or at least never really got to the playoffs consistently. If Stafford gets to the playoffs consistently, maybe pulls out a win or two each year, or even finishes his career with about five playoff wins, he's a Hall of Famer. So Really hope Stafford does it because I think he is one of the better quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but just doesn't get his fair shake because the guy's just never been able to make it to the playoffs. So, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how his career plays out, but eventually he's going to have to start doing it. So hopefully he does, and that way he'll end up becoming a Hall of Famer. That's all I got to say about that. That's going to finish up this segment. Next up, we're going to be pretty much talking about anything that goes through my mind. We'll be talking about the XFL. We had a few things, Marshawn Lynch, and maybe say a few things up the Pro Bowl. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Indianapolis Colts head coach, talked about Matt Stafford a bit, and talked about the Denver Broncos as far as what they do with Kirk Cousins, if they pretty much what their team becomes if they sign him this free agency period, which is in March, I believe, that it starts. And now we're going to pretty much, like I said, this fourth segment is always just pretty much whatever comes to my mind. So let's just get into it right now. We'll see. I mean, right now I'm planning on talking about the Pro Bowl a bit, the XFL, give my thoughts about it because I don't think I gave my thoughts about it last week. And we'll talk a little about Marshawn Lynch and Gruden saying that he's going to have a meeting within the near future about his about Marshawn Lynch's future, actually. So we'll do that. And like I said, if anything else pops up, we'll be talking about that. So let's get into it right now. Let's talk Pro Bowl. AFC won 24-21, I believe it was, or 24-20. I think the NFC at one point was up 20-3. Didn't get a chance to watch the game entirely. Like, I watched some highlights on YouTube because the NFL does put out like little pretty much game recaps as far as highlights go. So I watch those sometimes. If I don't get a chance to watch games, I don't want to. It's pretty, I like the way they do it too, because there's a lot of big plays. They pretty much do every drive, but they put like the key plays of each drive. So it works out. But nonetheless, Pro Bowl has come and gone. And I don't think much has changed about it as far as feeling, as far as play, and pretty much everything about it. All right. Pro Bowl skill showdown, that's fun to watch. I enjoy that. All right, enjoy watching play dodgeball. Enjoy watching them do the little obstacle course things, whatever you want to call it. It was fun. The little accuracy, the passing accuracy drills, and all that. That was fun to watch. Pro Bowl itself, I mean, the effort, I guess you could say, was a tiny bit better, I guess, but it's just not something that interests me anymore. Right, as a little kid, I used to love watching the Pro Bowl. I used to love watching the best players play from the AFC, play the best players from the NFC, seeing my favorite players out there. It used to be fun to watch, you know, but just now it's pretty much just, it's just the Pro Bowl now. I mean, that's how, like, I feel that way about all All-Star games. Like, the NBA All-Star game is pretty cool. I mean, did you guys even know that the NHL All-Star game was this weekend too? I mean, man, the NHL, like, I should talk more about it on the sports podcast, but the NHL has, like, a bunch of work to do as far as marketing goes. I mean, I think I could possibly teach them a thing or two about it because they're extremely bad as far as that goes. But like I said, maybe I'll talk about that on the sports podcast. But nonetheless, I mean, the NFL Pro Bowl is just cut the game. Really, let's just end the game. All right, how about this, okay? Roger Goodell, he says, you know what, we're done with the Pro Bowl. Obviously, it's not doing well in ratings, and fans don't really care about it. All right, yeah, we'll cut it. We'll send the players. We'll still do the voting for the Pro Bowl, pick players and all that. All right, whoever gets selected, obviously, is like, it's going to be like the same format. It's going to be the same format as the Pro Bowl itself right now, except there won't be a game. So they do that. All right, send them to Hawaii. And still do the skill showdown, and instead of having, like, how they do it now, the winning team gets a certain bonus and the losing team gets a lesser bonus, just meet in the middle and give them all the same bonus. All right, you got selected to the Pro Bowl, congrats, here's your bonus. We're going to send you to Hawaii and you're going to do a little skill showdown thing how they did on ESPN for the fans, and we're going to be done with it. All right, There's no point of the Pro Bowl anymore. It's not fun to watch. It's slow. Players don't try. And I completely understand it, too. I'm not saying that the players need to go out and go 100% or anything like that. I completely get why they don't try. I understand not why they didn't get hurt. And I completely agree with it. That's fine with me. But as a fan, I'm saying, you know what? Just be done with it. Roger, get rid of it. While you're at it, get rid of Thursday Night Football, too. All right, because you know what? I can't stand Thursday Night Football. The play of the game is terrible on Thursdays. The players don't like it. The ratings are low. All right, if I had to pick one, I'd rather watch the NBA on Thursdays anyways, but that's just me. But like I said, I mean, just get rid of Thursday nights, get rid of the Pro Bowl, and I think we'll all be fine with it, all right? I'm fine with having my games on Sundays and Mondays, even Saturdays in December. Saturday games in December are the best, I feel. Not the best, obviously, but they're fun to watch. It's a whole lot better than watching a game on Thursday. So I'm not sure if the NFL is ever going to do it, though, because there's this whole little money-hungry thing that they got going on. And it'll always be that way. But nonetheless, I mean, the Pro Bowl, it's cool. It's a little fun thing. But as far as the game itself, I don't care. If I'm being real, I mean, the Pro Bowl is just the Pro Bowl. As a little kid, you probably enjoy it more. But when you get older, I mean, it's pretty much just bad football. So like I said, get rid of it. Get rid of Thursday Night Football too while you're at it. All right, so that's all I got to say about that. Now let's talk a little bit about the XFL. Vince McMahon had a little press conference last week saying that he's bringing back the XFL in 2020. Said it's not going to be like the old XFL, and I was too young for the old XFL. I think that was, 2000, 2001? I think I was only like 6 or 5 years old at the time, so I don't really remember it. All right, I've always been an NFL guy. That's all I've ever known. So now the XFL is coming back. I'm kind of excited about it. And I know that people are saying, oh, the XFL is going to fail. The quality of play is going to be bad. Yeah, of course it is. Anyone who's going into watching the XFL thinking, ooh, hopefully the quality of play is good and it's almost as good as the NFL or like maybe a tier below it is crazy. All right. Don't expect that. Expect it to be bad. Expect the XFL style of play to be bad. Expect the players to be not that good. All right. I'm just looking forward to it because it's going to be something other than the NFL to watch. All right, even if the play is bad, I'm going to continue to watch it. Like I said, just because it's something else, just because Vincent McMahon knows how to market something, I failed. Yeah, he failed. And this is one thing I'm kind of intrigued about. All right, yeah, he failed miserably with the XFL the first time around. But you know what? He used that, it sounds like at least, because from him saying that it's going to be more a family-friendly type game. And it's going to be completely different from the old XFL. That's what it's looking like, all right? With him saying that, obviously that means that he's learned something from the last go-around. So obviously he has some ideas in place to help fix it in order to make it better than what it was. All right, people are saying the XFL is going to fail, or do you think the XFL will be successful? That's where I'm kind of like confused about right there. Like what is successful for the XFL, honestly? All right, the XFL will never jump up to the ratings or get the money that the NFL does. All right, the NFL has pretty much built an empire over the last 50 years. A little bit more than 50 years, but you get what I'm saying, right? They built an empire. It's going to take a whole long time for the XFL to ever get that way, and I don't think they'll ever last that way. Honestly, the NFL, like, you know what runs through my mind about the NFL? How much longer do we have till the NFL is done? Like, think about it. You think the NFL could go on for, like, another 30 years? Like, imagine 30 years from now. Do you think the NFL is still going to be around? Even 20 years. All right? Yeah, they have a lot of money, but that's just the stuff that rolls through my mind right there. Like, imagine, like, 20 or 30 years from now, like, are we, like, how is the NFL still going to be around? Like, I'm not even sure. I don't know. It's just deep thoughts right there, deep thinking. I'll save that for another time. But nonetheless, like, the XFL, like I said, I mean, what I consider successful for the XFL is that they're around for about more than 10 years, I guess you could say, even more than 5 years. All right, and they're able to sustain a nice little steady business model. All right, like I said, they're never going to become bigger than the NFL. But if they're like a second-tier league that people tune into to where, you know what, they're consistently making money, they're getting ratings, obviously not as good as the NFL, but nonetheless, they're making money and getting ratings, and that's successful to me, I feel. All right, go out and bring in a guy like Johnny Manziel. Maybe go see what Vince Young is doing. All right, I know he tore his quad, I think it was, when he was trying to become the Saskatchewan Roughriders quarterback in the CFL, Canadian Football League there. I mean, go see what Vince Young is doing. Maybe Tim Tebow wants it. All right, you tell Tim Tebow, yeah, come be one of the starting quarterbacks for our teams. All right, put a team. I'm kind of curious to where they're going to put the teams. I mean, me living in Sacramento, if they put a team in Sacramento, that's automatically going to be my favorite XFL team. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting how they place them all. I think it's going to be 10 teams in the league, 10 or 8. I can't remember exactly, but, I mean, it's It's going to be interesting to see, like, the XFL. Like I said, I don't really remember it from the first time just because I was too young. So I'm kind of excited to see how it ends up in 2020, where I bring in the rejects from the NFL, players that just couldn't cut it, bring in the players who didn't get drafted, and see how it all ends up. But, I mean, people going into this thinking, oh, the style of play is going to be terrible, this is such a dumb move. Yeah, we all know that style of play is going to be terrible. You don't got to ruin it, though. Just watch it. If not, then don't watch it. It doesn't matter. All right, but don't go in thinking that you're going to see a great football game and great style of play, because that's not the case at all. You just got to, honestly, for people who are going to go into watching the XFL games in 2020, you got to go in knowing that, you know what, it's not going to be good, but it's just an alternative to the NFL. All right, I'm curious to see how or when or what way they schedule the XFL season. Are they going to do it in fall with the NFL? Maybe throw it on Friday nights. I know people like to say that that's high school football. I don't care. All right, throw the XFL on Fridays. I'll be watching it. Don't throw it on Saturdays, though, because you're not going to beat out college football. But nonetheless, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it all ends up. So I'm really excited for it. But, I mean, we got to wait, about 2 more years for it? So, I mean, it'll be a little nice, little fun 2 years, see how it all ends up as they're announcing teams as we go and stuff like that eventually. But we're going to have to wait and see. Now let's talk briefly about the Raiders and Marshawn Lynch. John Gruden said that he's going to have a meeting with Marshawn Lynch to talk about his future with the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch's future with the Raiders is pretty much this last year, and that's it. He's not going to go to Vegas, I don't think, and play for the Las Vegas Raiders. Marshawn Lynch only came back to play for the Oakland Raiders before they leave, because he's all about Oakland, and I respect that. All right, and I think this meeting ends with Marshawn Lynch coming back for 1 more year. John Gruden tell him, yeah, man, we really hope to have you back. You'd be a big part of this team. And his little John Gruden, that was my John Gruden imitation right there. I'm not as good as Frank Caliendo, but nonetheless, I tried. All right, so yeah, I think Marshawn Lynch is going to be back this season. I don't think those backup running backs that they have, DeAndre Washington and what's the other one, Jalen Richard, I don't think that those are starting caliber running backs in the league. I think they're nice little pass-catching backs out the backfield and could, you know, a little explosive, but, I mean, they're just not starting caliber. You turn into the Seattle Seahawks if you don't bring back Marshawn Lynch, honestly, as far as, like, Seahawks and their running back little situation that they got going on. All right, you'll be bringing in guys like Mike Davis to start for you. Mike Davis, I'm not trying to take a shot at him, but you get what I'm saying. But nonetheless, I think that this meeting ends with Marshawn Lynch coming back for another year. And I don't think the Raiders really have much of a choice. You're not going to take a running back at the number 9 spot or 8 spot, whatever it is, or 9 or 10 spot, because obviously you have bigger problems on defense that you need to address in the draft in the first round. So I think as far as this meeting goes, like I said, Marshawn Lynch is going to be back, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does this season, because I think this past season was a bit of a failed year for him. I think it's more Marshawn Lynch coming to the Raiders was a publicity stunt, but I hope John Gruden thinks, you know what, we're going to bring him back for another year, and we're going to integrate him more into the offense. So I think the Raiders did play well once they were starting to give him the ball a lot more towards the end of the year, but we're going to have to wait and see. But like I said, if I had to make a bet on it, Marshawn's going to be back for 1 more year with the Raiders. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Today we talked about the Eagles-Patriots, talked about Josh McDaniels and the Colts, Matt Stafford, the Denver Broncos as far as what they can do with Kirk Cousins. And then for this segment, we talked about the Pro Bowl, the XFL, and then just finished talking about Marshawn Lynch. So, like I said, that's going to wrap it up for today's GSMC football podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.